Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the virtues of fasting. Yesterday we did the virtues of a person, or we did some masail with regards to a person fasting, and some of the masail that we did was when a person wakes up in the morning and he needs a ghusl, then a person can start his fast. It doesn't mean that he has to make a ghusl before the time of sihri. He can make a ghusl even after the time of sihri, when the time of fajr is setting. This won't affect his fast. If a person needs to eat, say he's got so little time that he can only eat, we can have a bath, then there's no problem. We have a person can eat his sehri, and then he can, after fajr, the time of fajr set in, and he can have a bath. Another masala we did, that a person generally is asked to baligh fil istinshaq, and a person when he's making wuzu, then he should put water properly in his nostrils. Istinshaq actually is to take water into the nostrils and pull it in a little bit. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, except when a person is fasting, and at that time now he doesn't put extra water in his nose, he doesn't pull it in. Now if it goes down into his stomach, then it will break his roza. Like that, if a person gargles, and when he gargles, now the water goes down, now then his fast will break. Because in the time of fasting, a person is aware that he's fasting, then he should be careful not to do anything that will cause the fast to break. And the masala we did was, if a person eats nicely, he drinks nicely, forgetfully, he didn't know, he didn't remember he was fasting, and after he ate, after he drank, he remembers his fasting, this Allah's feeling was from Allah, this drinking that he did was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person should just continue with his fast. It isn't said now that his fast is over. How kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, this person has eaten, he has drunk, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking that fast as a full, complete fast. Why it was done? Forgetfully. Then we start another chapter, Babu Fadli Sumil Muharram Wa Sha'ban Wal Ashhuril Hurum. The chapter on fasting in the month of Muharram, fasting in the month of Sha'ban, and fasting in the sacred months. The sacred months we know is Muharram, Rajab, Zilqa'dah, and Zilhijjah. These 4 months are known as the sacred months. So here Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought a chapter specifically about fasting in the month of Muharram, fasting in the month of Sha'ban, and fasting in the other 3 sacred months. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم وأفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه says رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that the most virtuous of fast after the month of Ramadan is fasting in the month of Muharram. This is the month, شهر الله المحرم, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Muharram. Ulama explained that why is there so much of virtue for fasting in the, why is the month of Muharram called Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explain is because of the fasting of Ashura, such a noble, such a sacred fast, the fast of Ashura, which we normally know as the fasting of 10th of Muharram, and then we generally join one day before, one day after, to go against the practice of the Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us we fast one day before, one day after. So because of this day of Ashura, such a significant day, this month is known as Shahrullah. Another explanation ulama give is that to show the respect, like how you'll get something known as in Sharia you'll get the house Baytullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a house, but to show it respect, to give it ta'zim, this is such a great house, it is known as Baytullah. Sometimes it is referred to as the camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of respect. So here to show the respect for this month, in this month lies the day of Ashura, that's a great day, therefore it is known as Shahrullah. Another explanation ulama gave, that this month is actually sacred for all the fasts that take place in the month, not only specifically to the fasting of Ashura, but fasting in this month is sacred, therefore this month also is sacred, known as Shahrullah. Next thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us, that wa afdalu salati ba'd al fariida, the most virtuous salah after the fara'id salah is salatul layl, is this tahajjud salah. Therefore we should always make it a practice in our life that we don't miss this tahajjud salah. Tahajjud salah is such an important thing. We find that the ulama and the pious of the past, that when it came to the ma'mulat, they would never miss it. After this hadith of a small incident story to show us, make us understand how particular they were of maintaining the ma'mulat. It doesn't mean that now one day I'm tired with December now, so I leave out my ma'mulat, my practice, I leave out the time, or at Easter time, a person doesn't think like that. Every day is valuable. Every night is valuable. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم من شهر أكثر من شعبان. So yeah, Imam Nabi rahmatullahi has brought another hadith now, showing us the virtue of fasting in Sha'ban. First he brought the month of Muharram, and showing us the virtue of fasting in Sha'ban. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fast in any month more than he would fast in the month of Sha'ban. So this month he would fast the most, obviously after Ramadan, for a month that he would fast the most is the month of Sha'ban. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she explains that, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَصُومُ شَعْبَانُ كُلَّهُ Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam used to fast for the entire month of Sha'ban. وفي رواية, in another riwayat, كان يصوم شعبان إلا قليلا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast most of the month of Sha'ban, except for a few days. Just for a few days he wouldn't fast, but otherwise the most of the month of Sha'ban, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast. Here we gave explanation before. For people like us, it's like a marathon runner. Now he needs time. He doesn't start practicing one day before the comrades. He gives himself some time to build up energy, to build up some strength. So like that, when it comes to the 15th of Sha'ban, then we shouldn't be fasting after that to build up some strength and energy. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His energy levels was much more different than us, much more higher than us. So this was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sorry, Allahu barikana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban, he would make this dua, wa ballighna Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be so enthusiastic about Ramadan that he would actually make this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in the month of Rajab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in the month of Sha'ban, and let us see the month of Ramadan. So for us, we have practiced in terms of getting that energy and that strength. So the last 15 days of Sha'ban, we won't fast. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the strength, so he would fast the most part of the month of Sha'ban. I wanted to mention an incident as far as the Ma'mulat is concerned. We find there was a person by the name of Urwa bin Zubair. Urwa bin Zubair, rahmatullah alayh. He was the brother of Abdullah bin Zubair, radiallahu anhu, was a sahabi. Urwa bin Zubair, rahmatullah alayh, was a tabi, one of the leading tabi. So he had a practice that in the daytime he would look into the Quran Sharif and he would read 25%, one quarter of the Quran, every day. 4 days he would make a khatam. So he would look inside and he would read, and that same portion that he looked inside and he read, at night he would read that same portion in tahajjud. Approximately we say about 7.5 siparas he would read in the day. That same practice he would do to read at night in tahajjud salah. So on one occasion he went to visit Walid ibn Abdul Malik. Walid ibn Abdul Malik was the governor, was the leader at that time. So he set out to go and visit him. I need this foot of mine to be amputated. I think it was the left foot. He said, I need this foot now to be amputated, his leg to be amputated. So Walid ibn Abdul Malik had summoned for a doctor. So the doctor had come and told him that you need to take a sedative. And once you take that sedative, and in that condition now, then I will do the amputation. So he replies to him, he said, how can a Muslim take something that would make him negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can he deliberately take something that will make him negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This was at a high level of ta'alluq he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, okay, it's your wish. If you don't want to take a sedative, you don't have to take it. So it is mentioned in the kitabs that when the doctor had put that blade on his knee to amputate, that he didn't complain, he didn't cry, he didn't make any noise. Every now and then there would be a slight hiss of pain that would come, but nothing more than that. Chose to be in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even on that trip of his, what had happened was that he had taken his child with him. His child had fallen from the roof. His child had fallen from the roof, fallen onto the ground. And there were some animals that had run past that had trampled upon his child. So on one side his leg was amputated, one side he had lost his child. And then in this condition he makes dua and he says, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a beautiful dua. He said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you had given me 7 sons. One you had taken away and you have left 6 by me. I'm making shukr to you that you have left 6 children. 6 sons you have left. And oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you had given me 4 limbs. 2 hands, 2 legs. But now I got 3 limbs, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you only taken 1 away. So then he says, oh Allah, I take an oath in you that you don't take something away from a person except that you leave him with something behind that is sufficient for him, something that he can suffice upon. And oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't cause any kind of discomfort to a person, except that at some point you'll give him some comfort. Such a beautiful dua he made. Then ulama explained that that was the only night that he missed out this practice of his, of reading Quran in the day, and reading the same amount in the Hajjud. So what he had done is the next night he had covered up for the night that he missed before. Even then he didn't want to miss out his ma'mulat. This was my amal, I don't want to miss out my amal. The next night he covered up for the night that he had that operation. This is what ulama explained, this is what a person should do. He should have that regularity as far as his practice is concerned. He should have that high level of sabr, that high level of determination in him. And this is the practice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I ever give it up? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil